Earth and Sky.
The polar regions are intimately connected to the mid and lower latitude regions of the Earth. Whatever is going on in the polar regions will certainly impact the lower latitudes through, in part, the position of the jet stream, but just more broadly in terms of atmospheric and oceanic circulation. So the more we can learn about the Arctic and the Antarctic, the more we're going to understand whether that impacts us directly here in the mid-latitudes.
You're listening to atmospheric scientist Jeff Key, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Key explained why scientists study weather at Earth's poles, and he talked more about how they do this using a variety of methods, including those on NASA's Terra Research Satellite with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Key, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, why do scientists study the winds in and from Earth's polar regions? And why is that information important for folks listening at home?
Well, first of all, winds are important. Wind information is important globally, not just in the polar regions. But there is a fairly long history of estimating winds from satellites at lower latitudes using geostationary satellites, those satellites that essentially hover over the equator at a very high latitude. So the procedures for estimating wind information from geostationary satellites have been in place for well over a decade, probably going on 2 decades. However, the polar regions are traditionally a data void region. We have some meteorological stations at the surface scattered around the Arctic, mainly in the coastal areas. There have been Russian drifting stations on the ice for actually a fairly long period of time. And then in the Antarctic, it's a similar situation, if not even worse, where we have some meteorological stations around the coast of the Antarctic continent and only a few on the interior. So wind information from weather balloons, for example, also called radiosondes, is relatively scarce in both the Arctic and the Antarctic. So the obvious solution to the problem is to try and estimate winds from satellites. And for the polar regions, we can't use geostationary satellites because they don't see the high latitudes with the same accuracy as they do the lower latitudes. So we use satellites that orbit over the polar regions, and the Terra and Aqua satellites from NASA are two such satellites. NOAA has its own operational satellites and has for many decades. So why do we need wind information? Well, again, it's a data void area, both the Arctic and the Antarctic. And any information that we can get on the atmospheric state, and winds is one type of information, are going to help weather predictions, not just for the polar regions, but actually globally because of the connections, the teleconnections between Arctic weather and in fact, global weather.
Now, tell us a little bit about your work with the data from NASA's Terra spacecraft that observes polar winds. What exactly is being observed and how is that being done?
Yeah, first of all, we use the MODIS instrument on the Terra satellite, the Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer. And the important point there is that it is an imager. It's in some sense a camera, but a camera that looks at the Earth at many different wavelengths, visible wavelengths and thermal wavelengths. So it's measuring reflected information as well as emitted information, something that we think of as heat. It also has some important observations in the water vapor portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. And what that really means, or what that boils down to, is that we are observing water vapor in the atmosphere. We can also observe carbon dioxide in the atmosphere with the MODIS instrument. Now, for the winds, we use what's called an infrared window channel that allows us to look at clouds, and we also use a water vapor channel, which allows us to look at atmospheric water vapor even in the clear sky areas. to derive the wind information, to estimate wind speed, wind direction, and wind height, it's actually very simple. We track clouds and we track water vapor. So we look at three orbits in a row, and with the MODIS instrument, with the Terra and Aqua satellites, they're on an orbital period of 100 minutes, so they fly over the same point or the same latitude anyway, about every 100 minutes, although that orbit rotates around the globe. We have to look at three successive orbits, and we do that primarily for quality control. But over those three orbits, or 200-minute time span, we track the movement of clouds and the movement of water vapor features in the clear sky regions. Now, tracking those features allows us to estimate then the wind speed and the wind direction, and then we have ways of estimating the height of those wind vectors. So it's really a fairly simple numerical process of tracking features that we pick out of this infrared and water vapor imagery.
Terra and Aqua, these research satellites, they've been up there for a while now, observing Earth for, I think Terra went up in the year 2000 and Aqua went up in 2002. Eventually, they're going to have to come down. What's going to happen when those satellites come down? What are we ready for that?
We are ready in that we have plans for new satellites. However, I think there are some missing pieces to the new satellites' sensors, and in particular, a water vapor channel on future satellite imagers, polar orbiting imagers. So I think this will be a particularly important loss when MODIS on Terra and Aqua finally reach the end of their lifetimes. Hopefully, 10 years from now or 15 years from now, we will have rectified this situation and put water vapor channels back on our imagers. But for now and for the near term, we will be without, and I think it will be a loss.
You've been listening to atmospheric scientist Jeff Key. Dr. Key is a branch chief at the Center for Satellite Applications and Research located at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our thanks today to NASA's Terra mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.